John the Baptist, very colorful figure. He is, like Jesus, only a more extreme case, not exactly a warm, fuzzy guy. In fact, every time we hear about him and every time we hear something come out of his mouth, it's usually something pretty harsh. He's either yelling at Herod to the point that he gets his head cut off, or he's yelling, in this case, at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sounds like an angry guy. But he's a godly man. So it leads us to ask the question, is God, this God who inspired John the Baptist to do what he did, merciful, or is he the just judge? It's kind of an unfair, loaded question because he's both. But we tend to think that God either vacillates between one or the other, that he's a pushover or he's this hammer. Really, his mercy and his justice are the same thing, the very same thing. Oftentimes, that which seems harsh is in fact his mercy, and that which seems easy is sometimes actually not good for us and harsh. So, John is out here baptizing people in the desert, and this group of Pharisees and Sadducees come up. Again, we've been conditioned over the centuries listening to the Gospels. We almost automatically assume that when we hear the word Pharisee or Sadducee, this equals bad person. You know, we make that association. That is not the case. To the people of that time, a Pharisee or a Sadducee would have been somebody highly respectable. Would have been like, you know, the ladies that go to Mass every Sunday, you know, people would, you know, look to them as examples of how to live their faith. They would look to, you know, priests and religious, and they would say, okay, these are examples of how we are supposed to live our faith. That's the way the normal person looked at a Pharisee, typically. So it's curious that whenever John the Baptist sees these guys coming, he doesn't greet them with honor. He rather calls them a brood of vipers and asks them who warned them of the coming wrath. You would think, you would expect something totally the opposite. And yet he calls them out. Now why? Why? Hello? Why would he do that? Because he saw what was inside the guys. He saw what was inside of them, or rather what was not inside of them. He saw presumption, he saw pride, and he did not see necessarily repentance. So what seems harsh coming out of the mouth of the Baptist is in fact, actually, I think, mercy. God, through the mouth of John the Baptist, calling them out of their comfort and into a life of conversion. And indeed, John's whole life is emblematic of that. And we get that from the few words that we hear about him, describing him. And we just kind of say, okay, well, he dressed funny and he ate funny, okay, and we kind of move on from there. But let's look at that for just a second to understand the man a little bit better. Those few words have so much packed into them. He wore camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. Has anybody ever met a camel, like in real life? Raise your hand if you have. I see about three hands, four hands. They're disgusting. They're disgusting creatures. Ugh. They're awful. They smell bad, they look bad, and they feel bad. If their hair is really rough, they're not a glamorous animal. Now, you can imagine being just all wrapped up in a big chunk of camel. Sounds great, right? And a big leather belt around your waist, which actually is symbolic of chastity and restraint. Okay? So he is in the flesh. John the Baptist is a sign of discomfort. He is a sign of the opposite of comforting yourself, which is exactly, flies in the face of everything our culture is about. So just the way he dresses tells us a lot about the man. He is not about his own comfort, but rather he's standing out there in the desert preaching to people who don't want to hear it necessarily. And that's not an easy thing. And then it also talks about how he eats. He eats locusts and wild honey. Again, you're not going to find that in your neighborhood IGA, are you? We typically fulfill our needs through what we think are our own means. But John didn't even make that pretense. He gathered whatever he could find based on what God wanted to give him. And in this case, it was whatever he could scrounge up in the desert. He had confidence in God. And finally, these words come out of his mouth. You know, keep in mind, people are pressing in on John the Baptist. People are thronging to him. It'd be easy for that to go to somebody's head. And yet he says, "One is coming after me, mightier than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals." There are three things that we can figure out about John the Baptist that are very important for us to get into our own heads and hearts during this Advent season and the rest of our lives. One, he's humble. He's humble before the Lord. Two, he does not seek his own comfort, but rather does the mission of God. And three, he is dependent on God and trusts in him for everything, including his own food. Those are three things that we could really try to get in there a little more deeply. A little more deeply. It's important that we don't fall into the trap of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. John points out that they're presumptuous, that they just assume that because they are who they are and they are, as he says, children of Abraham, that they're good. We should never assume that just because we are who we are and that we are children of the Most High God through Jesus, that we are good, that we have arrived. We are good. But have we arrived? No. No, we have not. Not until we knock on the gates have we arrived. And he says, "I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones." You know, we have to plug ourselves in. A stone, it's inert. It just sits there. It doesn't do anything. And that's John's point. We have to do something. We have to do something. As my seminary prof used to say, if someone were to put you on trial for being a Christian, would there be any evidence to convict you? It's beautiful. It makes me think of my own life, actually. When I graduated college, worked for a year, and then I ended up going to the seminary, the dean of the engineering department at the University of Evansville, Dr. Phil Gerhardt, got word that I was going to the seminary. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I didn't even know he was a Catholic." That is not good. I did not take that as a compliment, and I shouldn't have. Neither should we. If people would say, "I didn't even know they were a Catholic," is that an indictment? Is that a pat on the back? What is it? People should know who we are. We should be not afraid to bear fruit. And we should, in all things, try to follow in the footsteps of John the Baptist, who was humble, who was trusting, and who sought God, not himself.